I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast, a podcast where myself, Marcus Butler, and Matthew Viney.
Bentley Viney.
Oh, sorry. Do you do that to people? Do you like correcting people on that?
No, I don't.
Sorry, actually, it's Bentley Viney.
No, I don't do
that. Oh, sorry, mate.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't actually... We're not going to properly change our names until after the... When we go to Iceland in November.
You've already told us that.
Have I actually?
Yeah, you have.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so I was saying it because... So technically, I'm not correcting people yet.
I'm always going to call you Matt Viney.
That's not my name.
That's who I know you as.
Yeah, but that's not my
name. You'll always be.
That's not who I am anymore.
You've changed.
I've grown.
This is the new you, and I prefer the old you, Matt. So I'm staying with Matt Viney.
I wonder what that feels like.
A podcast where we talk about stuff, basically.
Yeah, last week it was a bit of a classic one, wasn't it? Talking about how to meet dogs and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Some really great quality content in there. And this week you're in for a treat, starting off with us talking about dream guests that we'd like to have on the podcast.
Your ability with segues is so good.
Thanks,
so
man.
Smooth and
thanks,
natural.
Man. Thanks.
You would never have known if we got that written on a page right now, would you?
You wouldn't.
It's seamless. Yeah. But we're thinking about, we're in the process of getting some more guests on the podcast because we like doing that, don't we? It brings another dynamic into the group and it makes us do our A game because I like to think we're always trying to do the A game when it's just me and you. Mm. When there's a guest, like, we have to do the A-game.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's nice because we've had a few guests on before, like YouTubers, etc. But we would really like to broaden out our guest availability and just get a bunch of different people on that we think would be interesting to have on the podcast to listen to and also hopefully have a bit of fun with.
If you've got anyone in mind that you would love to have come on this podcast into this hot and smelly booth, but we still love the booth, but it is quite hot and smelly, then tweet us...
With the hashtag LYE.
With the hashtag LYE, who you would like to.
And we'll definitely get them on. Anyone, a queen, doesn't matter who it is, we will get them on.
And at them as well, because then they'll be like,
oh, that classic.
Maybe we should.
You sound like a YouTuber. When they're like, who shall I collab with? At them as well.
Well, mate, I've learned from the sweatiest sat over the room from me.
Who's that? Casper Lee.
Oh, but yeah, so do that and we will endeavour to get them on.
Shall we reel off our dream guest list? So basically, we compiled a list.
It's a very extensive list, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, we have a realistic list, we should clarify, which we won't share because it's top secret.
Yeah.
And we have a dream list because we feel if we give some of these names and then they come on the podcast, that's nice.
Also at them and then they might come on. Just no, please do that.
Right, should we go one by one?
I'm taking the first one off, to be honest. I'm still haven't forgiven him.
Wow, fake fan. That's Harry Kane, by the way. We should let you know.
Beef.
At the time when he was banging in goals.
He's number one on the list.
Banging in penalties. Matt was like, let's get Harry Kane on. And I was like, okay. He'll have a lot to say. Now Matt hates him.
I don't hate him. It's going to take me a long time to forgive him. Second on the list.
Virgil. Very cool. Creative Off-White.
Emma Watson.
Ed Sheeran.
Cara Delevingne. Is it Delevingne or Delvine? What do you say?
Cara Delevingne.
Delevingne. Okay, cool.
But that doesn't mean it's right. That's just, that's how I think.
But
it
when
is.
She comes on, we'll find out.
We definitely will. That won't be embarrassing, will it? So Cara, how do you say your surname? James Corden. Do you know, I feel like we're reading out a football team sheet.
Yeah, this is the starting lineup. Yeah. Piers Morgan.
Not really a dream guest, the next one. Sorry, I'm going to skip that. Ricky Gervais.
Stephen Merchant.
Shane Dawson.
Shane Dawson, just so everyone knows. Not Shane Ward. Although he would be a good guest as well. He won the
X
Factor.
Why was the second Shane you went for, Shane Ward?
Do you know ever Shane Warne, the cricketer?
Yeah, him.
Who else is there?
Shania Twain.
Oh, wow. Steve Coogan.
LeBron James.
I would be really bad in that, I think, LeBron.
Why?
I just I literally don't know anything about basketball.
No, but
like, not a single thing.
Yeah, but mate, that's like the same with Cristiano Ronaldo. It's like, we're not going to have them on and just be like, tell us about kicking balls. It's like, they're global superstars.
Yeah, that's true. And that was a very nice way of saying Cristiano Ronaldo as well. Well done. That's next on the list.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was a smooth segue. Yeah. Bo Burnham, I think we both would really like to have on, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. We saw him in LA, actually, didn't we?
We just
did. Getting that out there. Yeah. We went to LA.
Cool. Will Poulter. I don't think the next one's a dream guest.
So. Oh, that's no, sorry. Spill not, that tea. Not, do you want some sugar with that, mate?
Same with that. I haven't said dream.
Oh.
These aren't both, you know.
Yes, they are. We both
mutually agreed on.
Yeah.
Gary Lineker.
Absolute.
Yeah, he'd be great.
And we can make that like a branded episode. Do Walkers. Cut us a bit of that crisp money. Liza Koshy. Who's she again?
Joking.
I'll put my tea away.
I forgot to laugh. David Dobrik, Jenna Marbles,
Tyra Banks,
Ethan Klein. Should we just stop the list? How long have we got on for? We're just saying celebrities' names now. We might as well just fucking say anyone. Donald Trump. Why isn't Kanye on our list? When we talked about this before, Kanye was my number one dream pop. Yours too. Where's Kanye gone?
I think we replaced him with Harry Kane.
Brilliant. Wow.
Louis Drake. Should we just say celebrity names for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, I am worried we have been doing that for 6 minutes. Okay, but anyway,
well,
so rounding that off, that was some of our...
If any of you have any idea how to get in touch with those people and get them on this epic podcast, please let us know. We're not going to get a single one of those on, are we?
That's
ever.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing. Fucking hell.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Have you got some water?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Have you got a pillow?
No.
Okay, got your seatbelt on?
No.
Well, you need all those things because, it's going on, brum, brum, here we go. Oh, I'm in the car today and, the car's taking off, hang on a minute. Oh, we're going up. We're leaving the atmosphere. Is it flat? No, the world's not flat. It's round. Okay. And on the right, there's YouTube. On the left, look over there.
Wait,
Instagram.
Sorry to interrupt you. What? You don't know the world.
I'm mid-flight.
Also, cars don't fly.
I'm mid-flight. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's Instagram. And up ahead, it's Snapchat, but it's small and fading. I don't know what's going on there. And finally, there's a big sign where Elon Musk is holding it because we're on Mars. It's the digital world.
In a computer simulation on a flat earth.
I've got a headache after doing that.
Me too.
Like a pressure headache.
Should we say that's the last time you do the intro, or what do you think?
Let's leave it up to the audience.
I feel like you're only going to have people say, yeah, carry it on for the few that like it.
Well, I think we need to do not a poll, but just tweet hashtag LYE yes to the intro or no to the intro.
I think you're going to get a lot of yeses.
And then on the next episode, we will tally up how many for each. I will remember to do that. So anyway, we've landed. We're in the digital world. And we're in the land of cons.
Con artists.
Essentially. FuziCon, TanaCon, VidCon.
Is that what it was called? FuziCon?
What is FuziCon? Yeah, I think it was called that.
All right. Intro, here we go. FuziTube. Know that name? FuziTube is a YouTuber. Got 10 million plus subs. He broke out on the scene doing crazy pranks that no one had ever seen before. He was changing the game with these
social experiments.
With these social experiments that everyone was like, fuck, how's this guy doing them? Turns out all of them were set up. And,
no, yeah. Wait, a prank, it's not real. Really?
He's been involved in a few things. Like, I have to admit, when he first came on the scene, I really enjoyed his videos because they were entertaining. Whether they're fake or not, they were still entertaining.
Fine, isn't it? It's like wrestling. You don't care if it's fake
or
not.
Yeah, he's had a few controversies around him. Do you remember the whole rice gum thing?
Oh, my God.
Where they faked the punch in the face. And
that was so funny. Just, why did they do that?
He's someone who has constantly been chasing views and relevancy, which he's had. He's had huge relevancy at times on YouTube, massive numbers, but he's had that disappear. He's had it come back, and he's always kind of put himself out there and willing to do whatever it takes to stay relevant.
Would you agree that he almost represents the modern day, like, big YouTuber? Because all the big ones, apart from, like, you know, the Logans and people like that, are so desperate to still be big as they were.
I think it's a huge, I've said it before, I think it's a huge issue that a lot of YouTubers face and will face is relevancy and, you know, the fear of becoming irrelevant, because everyone has their time when you're at the peak of whatever you do throughout life, whatever. But when you're at the peak of YouTube and you've got millions of views, whatever, it's different, because if that starts going down, you'll have people reminding you of that. Whereas if, you know, if you're a professional footballer or, like, whatever it is you
or
do
even,
in your career.
Even, I was about to say, even normal careers.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone has a peak, of course they do. But
do you know what the sad thing? I think I've just realised something. The really hard thing with it is that in a normal career, people normally peak. And if you're judging it on earnings or whatever, like their job promotions, in their like 40s, like late 30s, 40s is when you're supposedly meant to be peaking.
Sure.
Whereas some of these YouTubers are doing it when they're like 19.
But that's the
danger. That must be hard to deal with.
Well, the danger is it comes from nothing so quickly. You know, in a typical normal career, you work your way up and you climb the ladder, etc., for a long period of time. You slowly work your way up. But in this space, things happen. You can reach that top instantly and then drop off instantly. So it is a thing that I think a lot of people go through. And unless you're someone who's gone, you know what, that's cool, like, have my time, great, now I'm gonna kind of move on and do what you're interested in, basically.
I didn't realize, do you know how old he is, FoosyTube? Yusuf Erekat.
Is he 35?
He's 28. I know, I just looked and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
It feels like he's been around so long that I just assumed he was older than
that. He's not been around, like, I was on YouTube before him.
Wait.
And going back to what you're saying about a lot of big YouTube, I feel like, obviously, to stay relevant, people chase trends. Whatever's trending, whatever does well on some people just take that and put their own twist on it, which is fine. But it comes to a point when it's like, what are you actually doing? Take a step back and look in. It's like, are you happy with what you're doing? Or are you just purely chasing this game still? Because that looks to me what Fousey is doing.
And that's a really good link. So FousyTube.
Thought I wasn't good at links, mate.
Well, you know, I said that and you've done two solid ones now. So by the
shut
end of this
my
episode,
haters up.
So FousyTube, I think you're right. After seeing everyone was talking about TanaCon, weren't they? I mean, not just because of Shane's video. Before that, it was this huge thing. It was so relevant. And that seems to be like the important word here. So FousyTube decided.
Relevant is the most important word in the whole of YouTube. People love that word. Or irrelevant.
Fousey then decided he was going to put on his own event in 7 days this time. So whereas people were like, Tanner, you're crazy, you can't do it in 3 months. He's like, I'm going to do it in 7 days.
Was it seven or was it five?
I've heard both,
okay.
So I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, between the two, I mean, very ideal to put on a huge event.
Six would have been the sweet spot. But he decided to put on an event a little bit different, where it seemed like this was more of a day festival, like
it was
concert.
It was a festival where Drake was headlining.
But it was meant to be a day concert that was going to be streamed. And the concept was that he was going to get some YouTubers there and some... This is the crazy part. Marcus said about Drake. Yeah. He claimed that if they got 2 million streams, Drake was going to come and do some songs.
Yeah, and LeBron James.
Two of the
not only biggest names in America, two of the biggest names worldwide were just going to turn up at FousyTube's event.
And because, you know,
Drake was in New York performing that night. Like, how would he have even been there?
Yeah, but these guys aren't busy. They're just sitting around in LA.
Just waiting for YouTubers to be like, yo, I've got this event. Do you want to swing by? LeBron's like, Fucking hell, yeah.
And for no financial gain, because there were no ticketed things. It was free.
So it was all free?
It was all free.
Okay.
I think it was 1,500 people. Fuji said, oh, yeah. You know what sounded proud of us? It's weird. He's, oh, yeah, they're reselling them already. I'm like,
I did see that. And I saw, well, he's trying to build his own hype, isn't he? I saw that. And I have to say, I saw Pewd's video. And it was about the whole building the hype. You showed him Fuji talking about the show, and then there wasn't that many people there or something.
No, I mean, the difference to TanaCon, where this actually was proper venue, it was a Greek theatre, like, that's fine, no issues there. But unfortunately, disaster did, of course, strike. And
what was it? There was a bomb scare, wasn't there? What does that even mean? Like, did someone call the police and saying, yo, I think there's a bomb there? Or, like, that's how it must have gone down, right?
I mean, yeah, that is, yeah, how it
essentially
went down.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, someone must have called and that happened. I mean, it's not confirmed. Some people are saying they were swatted, because that's another thing YouTubers love being
classic
involved with.
Swatting people.
So swatting is basically when you do that, you say that an individual has a bomb or is going to commit a horrific crime.
And you give an address, and then the
SWAT team
coming.
Turn up.
Yeah.
So
it got out of control, didn't it? It happened when I think we've mentioned it on the podcast briefly to bring it back in. A couple of months ago, two gamers were playing and one got annoyed, so he swatted the other and got killed.
Why mess around with those kind of things? And the YouTubers that Fuzi managed to get, you know, Keemstar was there, FaZe Rug was there, and some other people who everyone loves. But where I'm going with this is, what is wrong with YouTubers? Why are they putting on these events that they can't do?
So what's wrong with YouTubers is they are often surrounded by yes people. And a lot of YouTubers, rightly so, have made their success by themselves. Great. Love that. Really respect that.
Yep.
But what often comes with that is an arrogance of thinking you can do anything. I want to make a rap song. I'm going to make a rap song. On a box. I can box. I want to make a movie. Make a movie. Like,
yeah, it's true.
That's why these things keep happening, because a lot of YouTubers are in that mindset with, I can do anything, which is, you know, has its pros and cons. I'm not going to get into that. But things like this end up happening where it's like, yo, I can fucking put on this event in 7 days. Watch me. I'm going to do it. I'm Kanye West. Bam. And it's an absolute shit show. I just feel it's another one of those things that's probably going to picked up by press, and it doesn't do any favors for the continuance of the reputation of a YouTuber.
Yeah, because all of YouTube as a whole is then slandered, basically.
Yeah, it is, and
which isn't right, to be
honest. It's something I feel like I want to, and I am, distancing myself more and more from, because
you shouldn't have to, though, because if a film star does something awful, you know, like, all film stars are this,
but
you know,
the general public are like that, and I don't know, it's just...
I know what you mean. It's sad that it's... Well, I guess it's in any industry. The bad news always outweighs the good news, doesn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just... YouTube's turning into something that... We've seen it, obviously, in the last couple of years, but it absolutely thrives off drama. And people... There's so many people that have channels now waiting for people to fuck up or wanting to bring people down, so that they can capitalize on that. And it's that is literally the direction that we're going towards now.
Well, it's interesting because Keemstar was there with a documentary crew. So he had obviously seen the Shane videos, also seen how Shane smashed those videos. He tot up the views. It's something like 30 million over 3 videos. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So Keem's seen an opportunity. He's taken a documentary crew in the hope that it's going to be a shit show, because I bet you if it goes really well, he's not going to make that documentary, is he? He's not going to release it being like, this was a really well-run event and everyone had fun.
No, of course he's not, because it's Keemstar. It's like...
But there's so many channels like Keemstar now, like you just said,
Dude, he set trends. Like, Keemstar came in, did his thing, and he's leading that whole race of drama channels. Like, that's a thing now.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
100% a thing.
Yeah, in fairness to him, blazed a trail.
Yeah. He did.
What's the first? I remember we laughed at it at first when it first came about, and he only had, like, I say only, it's a lot, but like 100,000 subs.
Yeah.
You're like, what's this guy doing? Why is he just talking about YouTube and news and gossip? Like, get a life. Well, he started a whole industry within YouTube doing that.
Yep.
But where's this going to end with, like, events? What annoys me it's always the fans that have to suffer.
Yeah, like, because they're the ones who are susceptible to it, because they're at the end of whatever a YouTuber does. It's the biggest fans who want to support that YouTuber, mm-hmm. who are a fan of them. So they spend that money, they get themselves there, they do those things to be there, because they led to believe all these amazing things are going to happen and all these great things are going to meet their favorite YouTubers are going to do this. And it's just all a bunch of lies. And
I just wish that when people were putting on these things like this, because it's just ego talking, isn't it? Fousey's ego, Tanner was ego.
Yeah.
I just wish they would consider the people who are going to come see it. Because if you make a bad film or something like that, like you said, YouTubers will do whatever. Or you make a bad song. It's embarrassing for the YouTuber. It doesn't waste anyone's time. You know what I mean? It's like, well, they can do that. That's up to them. But when you do an event or something where public people, fans are travelling to come see it.
Yeah.
One fan travelled from, I think it was like Canada or across states.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they thought Drake was going to be there. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. That's so unfair. Yeah. You can't promise things. It'd be like if the KSI Logan fight, if that doesn't end up happening, but people have spent all the money and they're going there and all of this.
Yeah.
It's so obvious, but for some reason it doesn't go through their minds.
Yeah, that's different, because the KSI Logan thing is like a properly run event. But people trying to do things where they don't know what they're doing.
Tana, you put down to inexperience. She's 20. Fousey, is it 28?
Yeah, like, but it also goes with his past of trying to do these things, you know? He's someone who thrives off of clout and thrives off of being able to brag about Bella Hadid sending him a DM like, mate, it was so embarrassing to watch.
That was on a podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's funny, I don't know if you clicked on that, by the way. That the guy whose podcast it is, who runs it, he didn't really talk, because obviously there was an argument going on. He's the guy whose video I showed you of Lil Pump that time.
Oh, wow.
So he's like really... He went to like Kanye's listening party. Yeah. He's like quite respected in the music industry and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out, what was it called? Non-Jumper?
No Jumper. Yeah. He's really cool. I watched some of his videos. I really like him. But yeah, on that, Fousey just did himself no favours, did he?
No, of course. Guys, go and watch or listen to the podcast, because it is hilarious.
It's embarrassing.
But the clip on YouTube is just a 13-minute meltdown, essentially. Yeah.
Him and Sam Pepper just,
I mean, it's just go and watch it. But I want to pick you up on something you said a couple of minutes ago, talking about how you want trying to distance yourself from YouTube.
Yeah.
So would you say that you're embarrassed to be associated with YouTube? Is that the point it's got to now? And if so, why is that?
Saying I'm distancing myself from YouTube, I don't mean like me involving myself with the platform and posting stuff, because I still do that and I still enjoy that and I still want to do that, but it is everything that goes with it. I feel like I'm just not that type of person who wants to chase all that drama anymore and like be a part of where YouTube's going now. And it's like, I feel like there's only very few people on YouTube now. It's hard for me to say, because I obviously don't know every single creator on the platform, so please don't take this the wrong way,
but you should.
But I mean, like, there's very few people who I feel who just do their thing and kind of, like, don't know, PewDiePie, I'll always say, is an example of that. He's at the top of his game, top of YouTube, never let anything...
He's very clever at that, like, still doing trends and keeping up with it, but not being obvious about it.
Yeah, Shane, like...
Yeah, same thing, yeah.
Philip DeFranco, there's a few really, I don't know, genuine people, and I just don't want to be a part of that.
Rounding this kind of segment up, if you were to put on a Marcus Con, so it's just you... Because obviously part of Hello World, but that was a collaborative thing, loads of people. If it was just you, what would you do? Who would you have there? And what kind of space would it be and that kind of stuff? What would you do with it?
I'm not expecting
a blueprint plan for this, but it's like...
So for me...
Perfect world, no budgets.
I've said this time and time again, the thing that I like to do most with people who enjoy things that I do is... speak to them.
Yeah.
And personally, I'm not a huge fan of meet and greets, because like, yeah, you hug a person and you have a picture with them, it lasts 15 seconds. I'd much prefer sat and have an open Q&A with people, because I feel like untimed, like usually when you go to events, it's like, oh, 15-minute Q&A, and I'm like, that's cool, but like, what, there's like five questions. I'd love to just sit there for a few hours and just openly chat, have conversations with people. So nothing crazy. And also Drake would be there with me.
Oh, obviously. I mean,
and LeBron on my left. You know.
If it gets 2 million streams.
Yeah, they'll be there.
Ask Matkus, Diary of a UK Gardener, who is, want to say, a frequent listener, because he's been in touch before, Sean J. Cameron. He asks, have you ever experienced a world without social media? how long could you go for without it? I thought that was a really good question.
Yeah, we have experienced a world without social media.
Have we?
Of course we have.
When?
Or grown up without social media.
But I was thinking that, I mean, from 12, I was on MSN, on Bebo.
Yeah, okay, I'm being dramatic. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, we have lived in a world where there hasn't been social media, but we have been in our youth growing up essentially with social media.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's what I meant by it. That's a really hard question to answer.
Yeah,
I'm just reading it. It's
more difficult for you in terms of the second part, how long would you go for without it? Because I feel like a lot of your job depends on it.
Well, yeah. Well, so, my whole job, pretty much. Like, yeah, a lot of what I do does.
So I feel like that is almost, when are you going to retire? When you go on holiday, you always say to me, oh, I'm going to be kind of, you know, off socials for a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the longest that would be without having a cheeky little scroll?
I don't think I could go really a week without going on any social media, because it's not only about following people, it's social media is where I get my news. Pretty much everything I get from life is an influence from social media in a way. You know, who have Liverpool signed? I see all that from social media. Like, things I'm interested in, I get that info from social media.
That's true. For news in particular, that's a really good point. Twitter is my absolute go-to. Because you've spoken before about, you know, you want to watch documentaries on people, but from an unbiased point of view.
Yeah.
Well, on Twitter, you actually get to see loads
just
of
what's going
just
on.
Opinions.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, yeah, yeah, exactly. And sometimes just what's going on.
But that said, I think it is very important to remove yourself from that world as well, because what is really important in life is, especially if you're on holiday or traveling, is taking that time away, taking that time out, switching off, re-energizing, but also just connecting with people. Like, especially if you're traveling, say, and you go to somewhere, not like a European city, or you go somewhere that has a bit of a different culture, like, go out and experience that, because that's the best way to grow as an individual, is opening your eyes and seeing what's out there in the real world.
Yeah, and sometimes it's really nice, you're forced to do it. Like, we were at a festival recently, and there was literally no, like, internet service. You know, when there's loads of people and the internet's, like, terrible.
Yeah.
So the whole day, we just didn't even bother, like, using it, really.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. It was really refreshing. Like, this morning, I got up at 6. This isn't just me being like, I got up at 6 this morning.
Oh, here he is, becoming that influencer.
I'd scrolled through all my social media twice by 6:30. Why is that the first thing I'm doing?
Like, I don't know. Why are you doing that? Why?
But yes, I mean, my answer to that question, how long go for without it? Realistically, 3 days, maybe.
Some days.
Because I'm going on holiday soon in Spain for a week. I'm not going to not check my phone for a week. I know I'm not. That's bad, but it's
no, but is social media considered WhatsApp? Like, is that technically social media? Because it's like, what are we really talking about? Like, I speak with all of my family through social media. I speak with all my friends through social media. So it's like, my world is social media.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to go on Instagram. Like, you're probably going to want to post pictures when you're on holiday.
Exactly.
So it's like...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Realistically, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's... Social media has come in and taken over our lives.
And Sean, if you're listening, what about you? How long could you go for without it? Turning the tables, you know, it's difficult answering the question.
But not only Sean, I'd like to open that up to you guys. You know, hopefully there's more than just Sean who listens to our podcast. There is, we can see the stats. We have a lot of listeners, guys, so don't worry. All around
Donald
the world.
Trump, like, we got so many listeners.
So, no, but all right, if we're talking about this, so we're going to be quite honest here. Matt and I, we really want to do some live podcast stuff. We'd love to do like a little mini podcast tour, something like that. I'm not saying any guarantees here. I'm just...
Australia.
Well, please don't say that. I get shit every day for that. I am just putting it out there, that's something that we are looking to try and do something around. And with that came us going into our analytics the other day. And it reminds me of the old YouTube days where you can basically go in and you've got a map of the world and you can hover over a country.
It's amazing.
And it tells you how many listens you've had that month in that country. And not to sound arrogant here, but it was so incredible to see how many random places you would never have even imagined people listening, even if it's like one listen or four listens, there were still people in those areas that had listened.
It was incredible.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really made me like, wow, that's so cool. Like, someone in whatever country, halfway across the world,
especially
is listening to this.
We have quite, if you take all the countries that are non-English speaking countries, we have quite a big audience there. So thanks, basically, for listening to us speak nonsense for 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, and hopefully we can come and see you And I mean, not personally, there'll be other people there, but we can do something.
We'll come to your house, maybe. Yeah. Sorry, I went a bit deep there, just going on from Sean, opening up to the rest of you guys, wherever you are in the world. What is your opinion on social media? How long do you think you could not be on it for?
Are you ready?
I'm sweaty. That's how ready I am.
Good. You're about to get sweatier. Well, it's about to get a bit saucy and steamy in here, so it's good that you're sweating. Headline is, for the big question, woman gets Kinder Egg stuck in her vagina after romantic proposal goes horribly wrong. What do you think about that? Is that pretty sexy?
I'm like, is it the plastic Kinder Egg or is it the chocolate Kinder Egg?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the whole thing.
In the foil? I've got so many questions.
Should we find out?
Yeah, can you tell me?
So this story has been shared in a book by former junior doctor Adam Kay. It's called This Is Going to Hurt, Confessions of a Junior Doctor. But basically, this bizarre story is a woman proposing to her boyfriend.
Cool.
It was February 29th. People can do that. I mean, you can do it any time, but for some reason, if you don't want a leap year, it's like, that's the time to
Good
do
luck.
It. For her romantic proposal, she chose to buy an engagement ring and she put it inside the Kinder Egg. You know, you get a little toy
in
there.
Yeah.
Put it inside there and then
shoved it in her fanny.
Get it up her
vagina. Mate, you can say the word. The
plan was simple. She would suggest some finger work, the article has put it, to her
Right,
partner.
So sorry, it can't be in the chocolate then. Well, no, because to get to put the ring inside there, you're going to have to break the chocolate. So,
so she's
I'm getting logical about
eating
this.
The chocolate.
So it's just she's put a bit of plastic with a ring in there up her for JJ. Cool.
And then he would discover it, retrieve it, and then she would drop down onto one knee and ask the big question. And
I like the creativity.
Okay, so if you're a bit screamish, maybe don't listen for the next couple of seconds. The egg had been inserted vertically, but somehow I'd managed to turn horizontally inside her vagina.
She couldn't get it out.
She couldn't get it out, and neither could he. Neither of them could get it out.
Really?
Seriously.
Sorry, can I just... Then... Sorry. They're not that big, are they? Oh, it's not like there's a golf ball up there.
Well, without being too graphic, it depends on how far it's been inserted. I mean, obviously, babies come from there, so it's not...
Yeah, it's not... I mean, looking at... If it is the plastic, it's not that big, but...
I love it. If she's listening to this, you're just like, oh, come on. Why can't you just
get
it out?
Get some fingers in there. Get it out, for God's sake. Bit of lube.
So she couldn't get it out. When they ended up going to hospital.
Okay.
And managed to get it out. And then she proposed, and he said yes.
It's a funny story, isn't it?
It's a lovely anecdote, isn't it?
Yeah.
My question to you is, what was your favourite chocolate bar as a child, and what is your favourite one now?
Right. Okay, what a simple question from a weird article. I was thinking, like, what chocolate have you shoved up your bum?
I mean, can you answer that? Is there anything?
What chocolate I've shoved up my bum?
Yes.
No. Okay. Unfortunately not. Wow. Ooh. Favourite chocolate? Do you know what?
It's a hard-hitting one this week.
Yeah, it is. I have said it time and time again. I think I have to stick with Lindt, especially the Lindt balls. You know, the Lindor balls.
You mean Lindor. Yeah, cool.
The brand's Lindt, isn't it?
Oh, let's not do this again. We did this in, like, episode 7 or something.
The brand is Lindt.
Okay, no, we're not doing this again.
But I just want to be right again. The brand
is Lindt. You just want to be right? I don't think you've ever been like that.
The type is Lindor. When I was a child, though, I just remember loving Boosts.
Boosts.
I still love them,
amazing.
To be fair. I still love them.
Boost is insane.
What about you?
I think I would definitely go for Dime Bar.
Absolute
classic. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, then and now, to be honest. So I've got a simple answer for a simple question.
Well, there we go. That rounds up another episode of Lower Your Expectations. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. You can subscribe on Acast, iTunes. Please leave us lovely comments with the hashtag LYE or on iTunes so we can read them. And we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
That peaked. Fuck's sake.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.